Welcome back to Drinks First. We have a really special guest for Cocktail Hour this week. I met him off of TikTok. Don't think I would have ever said that sentence before, but here we are in 2020. And I'm going to let him introduce himself, but he's a DJ. He owns a brand called I Like You. And you might know him by Isaac Likes.
Yep, that DJ is how Isaac I, yeah, Likes. Yeah, that's my name. So my name's Isaac Hendon Miller originally. I'm a 35-year-old from New Zealand. I've been living in New York for almost 9 years. And I DJ. I have this little brand called I Like You, and I was a fashion journalist for many years before that.
Yeah, so you're from New Zealand. What brought you to New York?
I was traveling around the world on the Fashion Week circuit, and I was doing, you know, from New Zealand to Milan to Paris to New York, London, doing the whole circuit over and over and over again. And it just got to the point where every time I would fly back to New Zealand, I'd be like, why am I living here? I need to be where the action is. And the action seemed to me at the time to be in Paris. So I moved to Paris, and I lasted like 3 months before I realized that it's almost impossible to get anything done in France. And so I came to New York, and things started to like open up really quickly.
Do you speak French?
Not really.
Yeah. that's
not really
maybe
no.
Where it went wrong. I feel like Parisians hate anybody who's yeah, not could have been Paris.
it might have been that.
So I'm going to ask you a few questions that we start off with every guest. So you said you're from New Zealand. Where in New Zealand are you from?
I come from Auckland, but I lived a lot of my life in Christchurch as well. But yeah, Auckland is pretty much where I'm from.
And did you go to college?
Yeah, I went to the University of Auckland.
Okay, so you were in New Zealand basically until after you graduated? Is that what the
time I graduated was? I graduated in 2005, and I moved to Toronto straight after that for a while, and then went back to New Zealand and then traveled all over the world and stuff. But I moved to I left New Zealand for good in 2011.
And when did you start doing sort of the Fashion Week circuit?
I started traveling for fashion, I guess, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And then my first Paris Fashion Week was 2008, I think. 2008, 2009.
So were you a journalist, or was it like, mm-hmm. were you designing?
Yeah. I've started working in fashion from a really young age. I started working in hairdressing salons when I was like 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated from that and started working for designers. And then I worked in a modeling agency for a while. I worked for a fabric distributor. I worked retail. I've done pretty much everything you can imagine in the fashion industry. But what I was really obsessed with was Fashion Week and fashion shows. Mm-hmm. And we have our own Fashion Week in New Zealand. And I would like look at the front row and be like, I want to be sitting in the front row. Who gets to sit in the front row? And it was the buyers on one side, and it was the journalists on the other side. And I was always like, my lecturers always used to tell me that I could write well. And so I was like, oh, maybe I should start writing about fashion. And so I started pitching stories to magazines and newspapers, and some of them got accepted. I got to like fly to Australia to do the Fashion Week there and stuff for magazines. And then in 2008, I started my own blog, which was called Isaac Likes. And it wasn't a fashion blog like what you would think of a fashion blog being these days, which is like you taking photographs of your outfit. I was like a serious writer writing articles about fashion on the internet. And we used to call ourselves like independent publishers back in those days. And I managed to like break a few stories that became like really massive news stories, like some in New Zealand and then some all over the world.
Really? Like what?
I broke the story during the recession in 2008 that New Zealand's largest media company was like firing all of its staff. And so I broke that story, and the next day the CEO of that media company, which was basically like New Zealand's answer to Condé Nast, Condé Nast, the CEO was quoted in our biggest newspaper saying that I had lied and that I was defaming them. And I was working for this big magazine at the time, like as on top of like doing my blog, and I got fired like on the spot, like just like it happens in the movies where like security walked me to my desk, they gave me a cardboard box, I wasn't allowed to like touch anything, I wasn't allowed to talk to anybody, I wasn't allowed to get anything off my computer, and I got like escorted off the premises. But the day after, it turned out that everything that I'd said was correct, and so I sued. And
oh, shit.
They settled. I didn't get that much money, but I got enough money to start traveling around the world for fashion weeks.
That's such a sick story. That's
like the best. And then way. As I traveled, Yeah, it was good. It was like, yeah, so I always say like getting fired was the best thing that ever happened to me in my career. But as I traveled, like because I was young, and the other young people, so I was traveling mainly on the menswear circuit, and the other young guys were like the male models. And so I would become friends with the male models. They would take me backstage. They'd tell me like secrets about what was happening behind the scenes. And then I would like write stories about it basically. And then some of those stories became like bigger things.
So you just got really connected really quickly.
Yeah, I think that like networking was always a strength.
Yeah. And this is a question I ask everyone. I think people will probably value what you have to say about this because you're a DJ now. But where is your favorite place, like pre-COVID, to go out to eat and to go out like to a bar or club or whatever?
I think my favorite restaurant in New York City is Indochine. The food is really good and it's got that like really cool like kind of an old school atmosphere feel. I have to be honest with you, I eat at Chopped for lunch every day of the week.
I love Chopped. So literally it's like one of the only places that's still open now, so I'll walk to the Chop that's like a mile away just to like have some semblance of a normal life.
Nice. Yeah, I'm always like, fuck Sweetgreen. I'm like Chopped gang for life. And I go to the Chopped on Astor Place, which is like the flagship. It's the nice one. It's got those big glass windows and you can like sit there in the window and the sun's coming in. So I eat there and I get the same salad every day there, the Santa Fe. And then I also eat breakfast at the same place every day, which is this little Danish cafe on East 12th Street called S'more, S-M-O-R. And they do this amazing butternut squash soup and avocado toast, and I have that for breakfast every day.
So you're like in East Village area, right?
I live in Alphabet City, yeah.
Yeah. And what about favorite places to go out?
I think that my two favorite places to go out if, I mean, because I've, you know, I'm like a lot older than, you know, like than you are, and I've been going out for such a long time, and because I work in the going out industry and I work in nightlife. I don't actually go out like that much these days myself. So I'm usually like out because I'm working, but the places that I like to DJ are, I love playing at Kind Regards downstairs. I love playing Short Stories, and Short Stories is really fun. Like a little bit earlier in the night, like 10 till 12 or something. And then I really love playing the downstairs room at One Oak.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about why we're really here. Tell me about your dating life.
Okay, you're gonna have to ask a more specific question.
All right, so let's start with, what was your first relationship in New York like?
Okay, yeah, I met an Australian girl at Whole Foods on Houston the day before Thanksgiving in 2011. And my roommate knew her. They were both from Perth, Western Australia, and she was with her friend, and we had like, we both just like arrived in the city, and you know, like, I don't, oh, well, you're from here, so it's kind of different, but like, I feel like for people like me, when you just arrived in New York City, like, you have no fear whatsoever, because it's like, nobody knows who you are, like, you've got no history with anybody, and also, I was a little bit older, I was like 27 or so when I moved, so I was already like, pretty confident in my ways, I guess, and like, he ran into, you know, we ran into these two girls, and he was like, oh my god, like, I know you're from back home. And so we invited them to come over for Thanksgiving dinner. And we'd never had Thanksgiving dinner. We come from New Zealand and Australia. We don't have Thanksgiving. And so we like made this chicken. We didn't even make turkey. And yeah, me and the girl hit it off and we started dating. And then I moved into her apartment pretty quickly. And
wow. It
lasted about like 2 months before like it all fell apart. And then the second girl that I dated was a New Zealander in New York, and I met her once. We went out on one date and then we moved in together straight like after one date.
I think,
and
there's like a pattern here.
Yeah, needless to say, that didn't work out either.
How were you able to break your lease so quickly? That's really it.
Oh, at the beginning we were like couch surfing, so
okay.
Yeah.
It's so funny you say the Whole Foods on Houston Street, because in a past episode, somebody said the best place to meet someone is the Soho Whole Foods.
Nice. Yeah. So, I mean, I can see it. Yeah. I was there the other day and I was like, everybody's wearing masks, but there's definitely some hotties in there.
So I guess it still stands true, 2011 to now. Soho Whole Foods and the other person, the other place the person said was Brooklyn Boulders. So if you're looking
my friend Dougie goes there a lot, and he's a very attractive dude, so ladies, if you're looking, yeah, for
there
sure.
We go. I mean, if he wants to be on the podcast, let me know, but Whole Foods seems like the place to be. So you were kind of just, you were winging it in New York. How did you sort of get your footing here?
I think because I had been traveling on the Fashion Week circuit for quite a long time, I'd met a lot of the New York journalists and editors and stuff who were traveling on it as well. And so when I arrived here, I knew a bunch of people, and there were a couple of people who had said, like, if you come to New York, we'll help you out. And one of them was this guy called Bruce Pask, who was the men's fashion director for the New York Times. And I called him the second day I arrived in the city and was like, hey, you said if I ever come to New York, like, call you up. I'm here. And he got me a column in the New York Times, like, within a week. And so, like, I started writing this, like, column. I mean, online. It wasn't in print, but it was still, like, a column online on the New York Times website. And that had been my lifelong dream. And I think that opened up so many doors. And then I started doing stuff for GQ. I started doing stuff for, like, Esquire, Business of Fashion, like, all these different publications. And I think that if you have the power of those, like, magazines behind you, then you can, like, it opens so many doors. You can call anybody and ask for an interview, and everybody will say yes, because everybody wants to be in the New York Times, everybody wants to be in GQ, everybody wants to be in Esquire, you know? So that really helped. And then because I had, this is going to sound douchey, but this is just the truth, because I'd made friends with all these models from traveling on the circuit, I moved in with models when I got to New York, and I immediately got in with, like, basically all the promoters in the city. And so I had, like, instant access to, like, pretty much every nightclub.
Were you going out a lot when you first got here?
Yes, an enormous amount. Like, I went out almost every night for the first 3 or 4 years that I was here.
Jesus, that's a lot.
Yeah, and I hit the ground running for sure.
So how did you transition into DJing?
Well, I moved to New York and I started writing for all my dream publications. And then I realized very quickly that there was no way that I was going to be able to pay rent as a writer, because the New York Times was paying me like $50 a story when I started for them. And then they doubled my rate and I got $100 a story. And so I was like, damn, all this clout that I'm getting from writing for these amazing publications is going to do nothing for me, like, for my bank balance. And so I had to find, like, other avenues to make money. And I guess I, like, the promoters and, like, the nightclub people liked me because I always came with this, like, massive crowd of Australian and New Zealand models. And I was always, like, a pretty large personality in the room. And so they would often, like, ask me if I wanted to throw parties or, like, have a night and stuff like that. And I basically was like, yeah, okay, if I can do the music. And they said yes. And so I remember, like, my first gig was playing downstairs at Up and Down. I had no idea what I was doing, and it was for like $750. And I was like, this is lit. I'm getting paid to party.
And you're getting paid seven times the amount of
exactly, exactly. And so then I went to DJing school. There's a DJing school in Cooper Square called Scratch Academy, and I learned how to DJ, and then it went from there.
Nice. So, okay. As interesting as your life is, I'm going to get back into dating. did you find yourself dating a lot of models?
Yeah.
And is there, because there are some stereotypes, I think, that go along with dating models, being friends with them. Do you think that stands true? Is it not at all, like?
Yeah, okay, so what I would say is that, like, yeah, for sure, I think that's true. I would say that I don't think that any of the women that I dated was superficial, but there were some women that I dated for superficial reasons. So I was a superficial one in the relationship, but I wouldn't say that they were superficial people. But I feel like when I was younger, a lot of the time I felt like I had to have, like, certain people around me in order to, like, look good myself. And when you're acting like that, then you're going to choose people for entirely the wrong reasons. But yeah, I definitely went through periods as well where, like, I found it difficult to be dating women who were getting a lot of attention from other guys. Like, I always say I could never date an actress, right? Because I couldn't date somebody who was, like, making out with somebody else on screen. Like, I don't think that I could deal with that. And the same you know, was true sometimes when I was like dating women who would get like insane amounts of comments under photos or like, you know, DMs mm-hmm. from dudes, DMs from like athletes and stuff like that. Like mm-hmm. that was pretty difficult to compete with, especially when I was like basically broke and just like finding my footing here. But yeah, I don't think any of the people that I dated were superficial themselves.
Do you have a type?
Yeah, I think I do have a type. I generally, I don't usually date white girls.
Okay.
I guess that's my main type.
All right. We love diversity.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself like having, because you sort of laughed when I said, do you have a type? So is there like repetition?
That I feel like as a white guy, it's like difficult for me to like be honest about that, because I feel like I could be accused of fetishizing people of different ethnicities or something like that.
I had a white guy come on here and say that his type was white girls who look like thick black girls. So trust me.
Wow.
And, it gets a lot worse. Don't worry.
Yeah. I guess, so like if I look at like my dating history, like the women that I've dated, like I have dated like Persian girls, I've dated Indian girls, I've dated like Chinese girls, I've dated Korean girls, I've dated Japanese girls, I've dated black girls, I've dated Native American girls.
So how many relationships?
Well, I'm also like turning 36 next month, so like I've probably had like six serious relationships, but I'm talking about like dating, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I've dated lots of people, I would say.
Well, so how has dating changed in New York City, like from the time that you've been here until now?
When I first got here, I think that the whole like non-exclusive dating thing was only just starting to take hold.
Mm.
And from, like where I came from, like that never had existed before. Like the idea that you could be like going on dates with different people every night of the week and not be exclusive to any of them, like that was like mind-blowing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like I think that that wasn't as common as it is now. And I don't think that Tinder had been invented yet when I first arrived in New York City. I think Tinder probably came around, what, like 2012, 2013?
Yeah.
Something like that. I might be wrong. But like, yeah, so this idea of like swiping, I don't think was there. Like online dating, I don't think was there as much. I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure that I'm getting my timeline right. And so, yeah, like I never did anything like that. And so you had to meet people authentically. So all the people that I ended up dating were people that I met through friends.
Mm-hmm.
But also like when I first moved to New York, like the people that I was the most attracted to were people who felt like they came from like the same place as me. So I dated like Australians and New Zealanders at the beginning because that was what was familiar to me. And I think that despite the fact that like, yeah, I'm a white guy who comes from a, like an English speaking country, I come from a completely different world than somebody who comes from America.
Yeah.
Like it's like you can't even compare New Zealand to America.
I mean, New Zealand is
such different cultures.
Yeah, it's incredibly progressive too, right? Yeah. Like
we have a 37-year-old female leader, and like even our right wing people in New Zealand are further left than Democrats in America.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, we should all take a page out of New Zealand's book, IMO.
Yeah. But like if America was New Zealand, like Alexandria Ocasio would be the president.
That's crazy. I mean, what, your prime minister, her name's Jacinda something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jacinda Ardern, yeah. She's a hero.
Sick.
We
she's
love her.
Sick. She's great.
Yeah.
So how have you seen like social media and dating apps affect the way that you've been meeting people? Like,
well, yeah. So, I mean, I've used dating apps a little bit. And basically I find like if I get to a point where it's like, I want some attention, or I'm like, I'm looking just as like, shopping for, you know, like shopping for dates kind of, then maybe I'll go on, like a dating app and have a look. And the one that I've used the most is Raya, and mm-hmm. then I've used Hinge a little bit, and I've used Tinder very briefly.
Mm-hmm.
But, I find that like with Raya, it's definitely more like window shopping. Like nobody seems to actually meet up with each other.
Yeah.
And then Tinder, I think, as far as I could tell, because when quarantine started, like I downloaded all three of them again and like mm-hmm. went through, and I think Tinder had the best selection of people for sure.
Really?
I thought Tinder had by far the most attractive people on it.
So I don't know, like, what sort of age group you're looking in, but at least, so I did, like, a dating app bracket on my Instagram, like, podcast Instagram. The most used dating app, and this didn't surprise me at all, was Hinge. Second was Bumble. So
I've never looked at Bumble before.
I use Bumble the most. Like, I think, personally, to be a girl on dating apps, like, Tinder is more creepy. Like, you have to weed through more, like, weirdos.
Right.
There are more international people on Tinder, though. But I find Bumble...
Right. I've also never actually met up with somebody from Tinder, and I've never met up with somebody from Hinge. Raya's the only one that I've ever met up with somebody, and it only happened 2 times. The way that I meet the most people online is DMs on Instagram, for sure.
Really? And people who 100%. Are sliding into your DMs, or the other way around?
Usually the other way around.
Okay. And what's your go-to to, like, hit someone up on Instagram?
I mean, oh, it's usually if I see that they're watching my story, then I'll DM them.
Oh.
Okay. I don't think that I've ever just, like, cold DM somebody, like, out of the blue and it's worked out. But, like, if I see, like, a girl's, like, watching my stories or something, and then I might hit them up.
For guys who are listening, what's the advice, though? Like, what do you say to people? Or do you think, you know, having thousands of followers and being verified helps?
I'm sure that helps. For sure. But also, like, the flip side of that is that, like, I think that the people who are attracted to the fact that, like, I have a verified account, or that, like, I'm a DJ, or that, like, they see that I hang out with certain types of people or whatever, mm-hmm. like, that's the type of person that you're probably never going to want to be in a relationship with. And then also the other flip side is that, like, the type of person that you might want to be in a relationship might see all of those things and like, hold it against you. You know, it might be like, oh, mm-hmm. you're a superficial person because you work in nightlife, or you, like, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so you kind of just said it, but what are some red flags when you meet people?
Red flags? I don't like people who drink too much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like people who take lots of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like people who get blackout. What are some other red flags for me? But also, I don't drink, so it's like those are immediate. Like, for me personally, you know, for other people they might be like huge turn-ons, but for me that's like not something that I is really going to work for me in a relationship.
Yeah.
I don't like people. So for me, it's not like it's for me, it's a feeling thing. So like, if I am finding myself like getting insecure with them because they're like, they never text back, or they only text mm-hmm. back sometimes, or I have to like ignore them in order to get like attention from them, that's a huge red flag. And I'll like walk away from a situation and that, like, if it's like that.
And what about green flags? Like, what can people do to
pique your interest? I like people who are able to communicate honestly, who tell you what their boundaries are immediately, mm-hmm. right? Like, if you get into a situation with somebody who says, this is what I'm going to accept, this is not what I'm not going to accept, and like, even if we're just getting to know each other, like, I'm not getting to know anybody else, and if you're getting to know other people, like, I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
Like, then you know where you stand. I like people who, like, set boundaries and you know where you stand with them.
Yeah, I mean, I say more often than not, like, especially now with dating apps and ghosting culture and whatnot, that people are too afraid to have any sort of confrontation or talk honestly and openly about their relationships, which is dumb as hell. You're wasting everyone's time if you're not doing that. But
I agree. And also, the other thing I think that's a big red flag for me is, like, and this is, I mean, I hope this doesn't come off sexist, but, like, when I meet somebody who does, like, that cool girl thing, like, I'm the cool girl who, like, I can handle anything, like, they act like nothing bothers them.
Yeah.
That's always a huge, that's a massive red flag for me, because I know that, like, if you give somebody an inch, they're going to take a mile, and so it's, like, if they're acting like they're going to be cool with anything, then it's, like, what's to stop you from doing anything to, like, test that boundary?
Yeah, I mean, I had literally this conversation with my friend this morning. I was like, don't act chill about something that maybe a guy is doing to you that just so you come across as like easygoing. Because if that's not how you actually act, later on when you act the way that you want to act, they're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think you're mm-hmm. absolutely a different kind of person. So just 100%. Good to be upfront, straightforward, like from the beginning.
For sure.
But I know for a lot sure. of
people. But yeah, for me, the things that make me walk away are like, yeah, if I start to feel like insecure because like they are, like I don't know where I stand with them, I don't like that. And also, if I meet somebody told me one time, like, if you ever meet somebody and you have, like, a 12 reaction out of, like, 1 to 10, like, you're like, oh my god, like, this is, like, the, like, whatever, hottest, like, most beautiful, coolest, like, whatever, I'm obsessed with this person, like, I'll pretty much walk away if I feel that for somebody as well, because it's, like, I know that I'm gonna get, like, I might get crazy around them.
Really? So you're being yeah. overprotective about yourself.
Yeah, but I also almost got married and then was broken up with just before my wedding in 2017. So, like, I have good reason to be overprotective of myself.
Do you want to talk about that at all?
Oh, you can. I almost got married and then I didn't get married.
Well, yeah. How did that happen? When did that relationship start? How did it start?
She was my best friend. And we were like, yeah, best friends, like running around the city for years together, and then eventually we got together, and we were together for like 2 years. We got engaged, we were about to get married, and then she came home one day and was like, basically said, like, I'm moving out and I can't do this anymore. And it was a deeply painful, heartbreaking thing, and it took me like a solid year to get over it, I would say, like maybe even a little bit longer.
Honestly, but today, that's like, seems short.
We're like, oh, maybe even like maybe 18 months or something, but like we're pretty good friends now, and you know, like I've talked to her on the phone probably like 5 times during the pandemic, and you know, like we've been texting each other to give each other like updates on how our filing for unemployment is going and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so like I still have her, like, you know, after not having her in my life for like a long time, like I have her in my life again, and it's like cool that we can be friends and everything.
Did that happen? Yeah,
like it was deeply painful at the time.
Did that happen because of the pandemic?
Did, like, what happen?
Having her back in your life.
How did that happen? No. We've been cool for like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you
Basically, like, I think like I was going through some family, like somebody in my family died or something, like, you know, like I had some like things happen to my family, and she found out and she reached out to me basically. Mm-hmm. And then that, and we kind of like went from there.
Do you think it's dangerous being friends with your ex?
I think that if I don't think that people should be friends with their exes. I don't like to say what other people should do. I don't think I should be friends with my exes if I still have feelings for them. And if I see them, it's going to like hurt my feelings. And then, because if I get my feelings hurt, then I'm likely to lash out and act like a dick. And I'm not trying to do that. So like if I like saw her and I still felt like deeply heartbroken, I wouldn't try to hang out with her. But like, because there were times when like I tried to be her friend again after the breakup, and I was super, super unhappy still.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did lash out and I'd get upset super quick. And yeah.
So you kept.
So enough time has to have passed, I think.
You're keeping it sort of just like a casual texting relationship, like friendship.
I mean, like, no, I mean, like, we're like really, really good friends, but we were also like really close for 5 years before we even got together. So like we have like a long-term foundation of friendship before the relationship.
How did you make that transition from friendship into a relationship?
We were out one night. And we just started making out on the dance floor. after years of like running around together and like getting wasted, and like, you know, like everybody always being like, how come you guys don't date? You know, like we were like that classic couple that people were like,
mm-hmm.
why are you guys not dating? You guys should be dating. We were always like, no, this is like my sister. And then one night she stopped being like my sister.
So did it blindside you when it ended? Or what, did you think it was something that was coming?
Yeah, no, I was super surprised, yeah. But I mean, I guess like she had been thinking about it for a while, but it blindsided me, yeah.
And are you single now?
I am. I have been seeing somebody, but we kind of like broke, or she went to Florida to stay with her family, and it kind of like fizzled out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm basically single, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what I think is really interesting about this quarantine is that when people were in relationships at the beginning, you're sort of put into this hyperdrive moment, sort of decide, okay, well, is this worth me taking the time to, you know, figure it out and talk to them every day and sustain it? Or am I just going to let it go?
Yeah, I know. I mean, this has been definitely a very, very interesting time. And I think that, yeah, like if I had been in a situation where I was in a relationship and we'd had to like live together in the same house during quarantine, mm-hmm. I think I would have lost my fucking mind. Because and not because, you know, like, but just because it's difficult to be in that close contact with anybody for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with my family and I'm going absolutely crazy.
Yeah. So you get it. You get it for sure.
Oh, I think everybody gets it at this point. Everybody's just done. Have you been dating at all during this quarantine?
But just at the beginning because, just at the beginning.
I mean, some people have been going on FaceTime dates and things like that, meeting people off of dating apps or other, like...
I mean, yeah, I've definitely, like, FaceTimed some people, but, like, it's... The thing that I like about the quarantine is that it's made it way easier just to... Like, you can jump on a call with somebody now, and it's, like, super easy to do that because it's, like, I feel like, for me at least, and for the people that I've talked to, like, getting on a FaceTime with somebody is quite... There's not, like, an intimidating thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I have done that a couple of times, but, like, not really romantically, though. But with people that I didn't know, though. So, yeah.
Well, do you think there's anything that's gonna... Anything from this quarantine that's going to affect dating in the future?
I don't know. I actually don't have an answer for that. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder, you know, like I wonder lots of things. Like, I wonder if people are going to be scared to have sex. I wonder if people are going to be scared to like hug. If like, people are going to be scared to kiss. I wonder if like all these sorts of things. But then I feel like once everything gets opened up again and people get a few drinks in them, like all bets are going to be off.
I mean, who knows, like, when things like nightlife are going to open. That's all, like, second phase. Mm-hmm. But I think more than ever, people are going to be craving that sort of human contact, and everybody's going to want to be acting a bit reckless. But
yeah.
In a way, I think people have been acting reckless during quarantine also, people who have put themselves out there to date, because they're taking chances and doing things that they would have never done before. Like, I put out a poll about would you go on a FaceTime date, and early on people said no, and that answer changed really quickly, like, mm-hmm. once we were a week or two into quarantine.
Yeah, totally.
I'm definitely interested to see, like, how things shift going forward. I mean, you're in nightlife, you're involved with it. Like, do you ever meet people while you're out?
Yeah, but once again, it's like, it's back to that same thing of like
red flag, drinking, blacking out, all that.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, like, I've definitely dated women that I've met like while out, like, for mm-hmm. sure I have. And I've, you know, but generally, like, it all goes in one direction real quick, because the type of people, like, as somebody who doesn't drink working in nightlife, like, I'm definitely the odd one out.
Mm-hmm. Do you have sort of an ideal woman? Like, what would that look like to you?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I mean, I would like somebody who is intelligent and confident in their own ideas and values, and not a Republican or a supporter of Donald Trump, and not even, like, to be honest, like, not even like a moderate Democrat, just because
the fiscally conservative,
yeah, because if you're fiscally conservative, then you're anti-social welfare, which basically makes you a Republican. So anyway, because I, you know, come from this country where we have such a strong left-wing liberal background, it's really difficult for me to, like, align my beliefs and values with somebody who is, like, far right of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, like, I, like, things that I really admire are, you know, like when you are dating somebody and you can introduce them to your friends and they can immediately like start conversations with people, that's super confident in themselves like that. Like that's important to me. And I like people who are driven, but not like obsessive about career,
mm-hmm.
but like driven to succeed, but not like at the cost of everything else.
Mm-hmm. And are you looking for a relationship right now?
Yeah, I think I'm always looking for a relationship.
So you're a relationship person. I mean,
I haven't been in a relationship. I haven't been in a relationship for a long time, but yeah, I think that like I have been in like a number of relationships that were at least like 2 years long.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, when was your last relationship?
The last relationship was when I almost got married. So, and we broke up February 2017. Yeah. So I haven't been in a relationship for like over 3 years, but I dated one girl for like 4 months,
mm-hmm.
but it was like, wasn't super serious. I don't think.
Have you ever dated anybody like significantly older or significantly younger than you? Cause if you're in
never dated somebody significantly older than me, but yeah, I've definitely dated girls in their 20s for sure.
And how does that compare to, like, women in their 30s?
I think that there is a level of confidence that comes with age. Where it's, like, you know who you are, and you're more of, like, a fully formed human when you're, like, older.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're younger, I think that you're still trying to, like, figure out who you are. You're still trying to figure out what your place is in the world. And so much is uncertain. You're still trying to figure out like what your career is going to be, like what it is that you're trying to do, and all these different things. And I think that is the big difference. And also I think that like when you're in your 20s, like kind of all you want to do is have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not for everybody, but like let's say you're a nightlife person and you're in your 20s, like what you want to do is have fun. But if you're in your 30s, you're probably like looking to settle down a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And you might be more interested in like dinner rather than like partying until 5 o'clock in the morning.
And so if you are like going out looking, do you believe that if you're looking for something, it won't happen?
I mean, I think that what I believe is that unless you are ready for a relationship, it's probably like the right relationship is probably not going to happen, right? And I feel like you get out of the world what you put in. And so like if I'm putting out like positive energy, and if I'm like not being a dick, then I'm likely to attract people who are positive and not dicks, right? And if mm-hmm. I'm like putting out negative energy and I'm being a dick, I'm likely to attract that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
So like I think that a lot of it depends on like who I am at the present time and like how I'm behaving and like what kind of energy I'm putting out there in the world.
What would be your ideal date, ideal first date?
I like going to the movies.
Movies?
Which I love going to the movies, and I feel like nobody else, like, I feel like everybody disagrees with me about this, but I love going to the movies because it, like, you get to talk about something when you're, like, walking there or when you're, like, meeting up, right? Mm-hmm. So it gives you, like, something to talk about. Then you get to, like, kind of eliminate the, like, awkward, like, you know, potential awkward, especially, like, I don't drink, right? So I can't just go and have, like, glasses of wine or like cocktails or shots with somebody that I'm just meeting. So like for me, you know, like sometimes it can be a little bit like, you know, it's nerve-wracking. And so because going to the movies is like my favorite thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so then afterwards you have something to talk about. And then if it's like if you know having fun, then you can go for like dinner, or you can go for like ice cream, or you can walk around or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a pretty...
And if you're not into movies, if you're not into going to the movies, then, like, I don't know if it's going to work out, because, like, I go to the movies all the fucking time, like, literally at least 3 times a week.
Do you have MoviePass or, like, whatever the...
Yeah, I've got the AMC.
AMC movie, whatever it is. What, have you seen any good movies recently?
I loved Wedding Story.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that movie, The Farewell, with Aquafina.
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah, I love that. I really love the, I love Parasite. Yeah, those were my favorite movies that I saw recently, I think. Well, I mean, the movies have been closed down for a few weeks now.
Yeah, but you know, people are up on Netflix watching a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah, I honestly, I have not watched anything during quarantine because I spent my entire life on TikTok.
Yeah, wait, let's talk about TikTok.
Let's talk about TikTok.
How did you get into that? I mean,
So I have like agents for DJing and for social media and stuff, right? And I have this agent called Emma who a long time ago was like, you need to get on TikTok, probably like almost 2 years ago. And I was like, I've never even really heard of it. Like, it just seems like some other thing. And I was really jaded with Instagram. And I still am quite jaded with Instagram. Like, I think Instagram is fucking annoying and stupid. And like,
Agreed.
and also like everybody's like, the algorithm like kills everybody's content on Instagram, right? And she was like, no, trust me, trust me, trust me. You should get on TikTok. And I was just like, nah, whatever. And then last year, around like November or something, I was like, oh, maybe I should just like, so like a year after she first told me about it, I was like, maybe I should just download it and see what it's all about. And I downloaded it, and within like 5 days, I would say I was spending like 4 hours a day on there, and I was telling everybody about it. And I was like, oh, okay, this is so much different from what I ever imagined it was going to be. And so I started posting a little bit, but nothing, nothing really worked out. And then I do a lot of these like unboxing videos on Instagram where I do these like very aggressive, like rip a box open, like I'll buy something online or I'll get sent something and I'll like rip the box open with, then I've got this like flick knife that I use and I'm like, and then I've like all over the place and like unwrapping things like an ungrateful child on Christmas Day, basically. And so I was like posting those videos on TikTok, and finally, like one of them, like 6 weeks after I posted it, one of them like hit. Like hit the algorithm and all of a sudden got like 50,000 views in like 2 hours or something like that. And then I was like, oh shit, like this is lit. And then when quarantine started, I was like, okay, I've got nothing else to do. Like I'm gonna devote myself to doing this. And so I started like looking at what the trending hashtags were every day, and I was like, I'm gonna make those videos every day of the week. And I've made like between one and like five videos a day during quarantine.
Yeah. No, it's fucking addicting. I had also like really I didn't want to get on TikTok, not because I was jaded from Instagram, which like I don't really like Instagram at all. I feel like most people will say that now. But with TikTok, I would just knew I loved Vine, so like I knew that I was gonna be addicted to TikTok, and I was like, this is dangerous, like I have a job, like I have a podcast now. I can't waste my time on TikTok. I spend so much time on TikTok. It's disgusting. It,
And
like
what about the adrenaline rush when you like post something and it starts
and it
taking off and
goes
it's the best feeling?
I don't do drugs, but like I'm sure this is what that feels
Yeah,
like.
for sure.
But yeah, no, TikTok is the Wild West of social media right now, and if you're not on it, you're completely missing out.
If
And
you are denying TikTok in 2020, you are like a person in 2014 who was like, no, Facebook is the only good social media. Like Instagram ain't shit. Like you're an idiot. If you are like denying TikTok, you're literally an idiot.
also, it's a pandemic. Like, we all know nobody has anything better to do. So get on TikTok if you're not already. You might meet some really cool people, like I just did.
And also, I've like my tip for anybody getting on TikTok and trying to like figure out how to like do it and make it work for them is to do exactly what you did, which is to like you're an expert in New York City because you were born and raised in New York City, and so you know what the fuck you're talking about. And instead of just like going and doing the same thing that everybody does, which is like, oh, I need to learn the Renegade dance or I need to like lip sync something, you are like, no, I actually know something about this, and so I'm gonna like add my 2 cents. And you did it, and boom, it picked up, and like that's how I found you because you like posted that video.
It's been really weird. I've had so many people like reach out to me just from like New York City ecosystem being like, you're on my For You page. Like, that's so crazy. I'm like,
Original content is key. You got to do like you've got to like talk about what you know.
my content was not original whatsoever, though. I saw somebody make a video, it pissed me off because it was not accurate, and I was like, I'm just gonna do this myself.
Yeah, but I mean that's original content. There's a difference between that and the and like being like, what's the latest dance that Charli D'Amelio is doing? Like, I'm just gonna learn it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad my TikTok algorithm knows that I'm like not 14, so now I'm not seeing like 12-year-old
Yeah,
girls doing Renegade.
I don't see the dancing either. Like, and everybody always says to me, like, oh, it's just that thing where people dance, right? I'm like,
Yeah.
I never see dancing on TikTok.
The algorithm is so smart. like TikTok, we actually talk about it at my work all the time, just because like I'm kind of in tech. And so like TikTok has an incredible user interface. It has a credible algorithm. The way that it picks up what people like is insane. Like I am seeing content from like Bon Appetit Test Kitchen, like niche content, which is like videos I watch on YouTube. Like, I don't know how they do it, but they do it really well. So if you're not on TikTok, get on it.
Exactly. And it's very much in favor of the content creator right now, because the algorithm is kind to us creators, as opposed to Instagram, which you're like, you'll post something and it'll like die immediately. Like, oh, your shit just gets like exposed to insane amounts of people on TikTok.
Also, Instagram still makes me like nervous. Like, I don't feel bad about, like, I never wear makeup. I never do like anything to do a TikTok. Like, I'll just be in my pajamas. Like, Instagram, I'm like, send it to 4 different friends. I'm like, is this okay? Like, should I post this? Because I don't post that often. It's less nerve-wracking. It's way less emphasis on like what you look like and how, I mean.
It's quality of content rather than like appearance.
Yeah. And it's also quantity, because you can just keep putting out videos on TikTok and you might get like 2 likes on something, and then you might get 2,000 likes on something. So it's just
exactly
keep doing something until it sticks. But I saw like your prom TikTok. It was like it was the second one trending. I meant to text you about it. Trending on like prom, hashtag prom portraits.
Oh, so
yeah. Like,
I think I was next to John Krasinski.
Yeah, it was like John Krasinski and you. I was like, you're gaming the system, my man. I felt proud.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's such a good feeling to like be a part of something that's growing as well. Like, it's exciting to be on a platform that's growing. Like, when I was like 10 years old, till I was 14 years old, I was on this rugby team for 4 years, and we lost every single game for 4 years, right? Every game. And it was a fucking demoralizing experience, right? But we were like, kept trying, and like finally we won like a game. It was the best feeling ever. And I feel like for the last few years, like, Instagram has been like being on that rugby team, losing every week. Like, you're losing followers, like, your posts are getting less likes, you're getting less engagement, like, nobody cares anymore. And then getting on TikTok is like winning that one rugby game.
Yeah. And also, a lot of my friends who are influencers, who make, you know, livings off of doing Instagram, are migrating onto TikTok. It's just the natural next step. Everything comes in a cycle. But I mean, who knows? Next thing that happens is that people are going to start dating off of TikTok, because people called Instagram like the best dating app.
Oh, yeah. TikTok is going to be for sure the best dating app in America.
Yeah, and if anything, you're seeing people a little less filtered, because it's not as curated as Instagram.
For sure, yeah, and people like making jokes, so you like, you know, somebody's got a sense of humor.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, you've definitely met people on who are like amazing on Instagram, and then you meet them in real life, and like all they have to them is the fact that they can like make cool photographs.
Yeah. There's this question though of like clout and what it does like in dating. I don't know. I think people are swayed by people's social media presences way too much. Like, I would rather date somebody who had no social media presence whatsoever, I think.
Yeah. I understand that. I think the reason that it helps, right, is like, I heard Ryan Seacrest say this thing one time where he said that it's easier for him to walk up and talk to a woman because she, like, almost 10 times out of 10, she's going to know who he is, right? Mm-hmm. And so it immediately like breaks the ice of like, oh, who is this like stranger who is coming up and talking, because she already knows him, right? And I feel like if somebody's verified, or if they have a following or something like that, it makes them more familiar. And especially like people who are, you know, like verified, you know, who are content creators, who live a lot of their lives online, you can kind of like immediately go on their platforms, on their social media platforms, and you can see kind of like a version of who they are. It might not be like a fully well-rounded version of who they are, but you're at least going to get like a taste. And so if you see them like that, then, you know, like, and then you see them in real life, you're kind of going to be like, yeah, I kind of know who this person is a bit more than like somebody who doesn't use Instagram in such a strategic or like comprehensive way.
Do you find yourself like putting out your most authentic self on social media?
No. I mean, on TikTok, I think that I put out a, yeah, actually, like, the videos that I've been doing recently about, like, New York restaurants and mm-hmm. about, like, the downtown cool kids and about people whose, like, parents pay their rent and how, like, that makes me really angry. Yeah, that's who I really am. Like, I am a guy who's, like, bitter about, like, rich kids whose parents, like, pay their rent. Like, that's authentic to who I am. And I'm making videos, like, jokey videos about that on TikTok. That's real, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I a guy who's, like, looking sullen, dressed in like a crazy, you know, like a really good outfit, like staring out of the camera frame on Instagram? Like, no, who the fuck, what does that say about me? It doesn't say anything about me. But also I think that like a lot of the stuff that I, a lot of the content that I've always put out on like Instagram stories and also on TikTok is me being like a much more over the top version of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then people will often meet me and be like, oh, you're not as like loud in real life as I thought you were going to be.
Yeah.
But like when you see the videos of me like talking on TikTok as opposed to like, hey guys, it's me, Isaac, you know, which is what I definitely do that. Like, but hey guys, it's me, Isaac. Like that's a very small version of me. And you probably only get that in real life if you know me really, really well. But mm-hmm. like, it's easy for me to talk to the camera like that because the camera's like my, you know, like my cell phone's like my best friend.
Yeah.
But like the version of me that's like giving a slightly more thoughtful, you know, maybe more sarcastic, maybe drier take, like that's definitely much more like what I'm like in real life.
Yeah. I mean, I think even I really want to say that I put out my most authentic self, but I don't. And I know that I don't, like, especially with TikTok, that one that stuck cool, but then I felt pressure to be like, I don't want to be known as like the person whose only personality is New York City, because that's just not who right. I am. But you get like a taste of something going viral and you're like, oh shit, like should I capitalize on this? But I mean, such
yeah.
as
I mean, of course, and you think that I don't do that? Like, of course I fucking do that. Like, I see stuff that will you, because also the interesting thing about TikTok is like you get comments, right? And you mm-hmm. see in the comments immediately you get this like customer feedback basically.
Yeah.
And so like if I see that something's working, like for instance, I did this video the other day and people would not stop talking about this one thing that I said. And so for the next video, like I said the same thing because they were like, oh my God, his accent when he says this thing,
mm-hmm.
you know? Or like I get this comment all the time. Do you know who Ricky Dillon is?
No, but I've seen that comment and I've been meaning to look him up. So I'm going to do it
this
right
guy
now.
On YouTube. Like, I get that comment all day, every day. Oh, my God, this guy looks like Ricky Dillon. Is this Ricky? I thought this was Ricky Dillon.
You do not look like him at all.
I get that comment all day, every day.
Yeah, I've seen it on your TikTok. Oh, my God. You really don't look like him.
And so, like, I think that it's, like, interesting to, like, play up the things that are, you know, it's like McDonald's knows that Big Macs work for them, so they fucking make Big Macs and they promote Big Macs, right?
Right, right.
If they started promoting, like, fried rice is their, you know, as their main dish, like people are going to be like, what are they doing? I think you have to play to your strengths. And also, like, I don't know that for me, like social media, it's not about like being my most authentic self. Like it's, especially when, you know, I've worked on social media for many, many years of my mm-hmm. life and I've gotten paid but you know, for working on social media for a long time. So like for somebody like me, it's about like, how do I make money on this platform? It's not about like, how do I show the world like who Isaac Hendon Miller really is? That's mm-hmm. not what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Is it a goal of yours to be able to monetize on TikTok?
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't. Completely. I mean, like I made before like the last year, DJing has been like my biggest source of income, but like mm-hmm. every other year before that, like DJing and Instagram have been 50-50.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Since like 2014, probably.
That's awesome. Yeah, I had this conversation also with a friend a few days ago, and he was like, well, you're going viral now. Like, is that something that you want? Like, do you want to eventually become some sort of, like, influencer? And I was like, absolutely not. But
also, there's a difference, like, the thing that I like about TikTok is that it's not about being an influencer, I think. I think it's about, like, it's more about having some form of perspective on something.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I like. Like, I like how you can be like, I'm a native New Yorker. This is what I think of, like, XYZ things about New York. Like, I'm a DJ. Here's what I think about nightlife in the city. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know what I'm talking about. You know what you're talking about. That's not being an influencer. That's having, like, that's having like insight and knowledge of something. Those are two different things.
Yeah, that's valid. I think, I mean, he kind of coaxed out of me. He was like, so why are you doing this? Like, why do you like posting videos and making content and whatnot? And I mean, a lot of it has driven back to like this podcast. Like, everything so far has been word of mouth, and it's like done pretty well. I had an idea and I was like, oh my God, I want to do it. And I just did it. And I dove headfirst into it. But like the normal season where I interview people and they're anonymous and like people can get matched up, that only works if a lot of people are listening. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, how do I get this out to the largest like amount of people I can?
Did that guy whose episode I loved, Hot, what was, did he actually say what his name was or not?
No, they never say their names.
Oh, so you didn't even say his first name?
No.
Okay, but the guy that, you know, like the guy whose episode that I listened to, he was like in the fraternity. He started referring to himself as Hot, whatever his name was. Yeah. Did he get matched up with anybody because of your podcast?
Yeah, almost every guy has been matched up with someone.
That is lit. I love that guy. You can tell that guy from me, or if you're listening, whatever your name is, Hot, whatever your name is, you are incredibly engaging and fun to listen to. So he's the one who grew up in Singapore, born in Singapore.
His ego's already so big. I don't even want to.
No, but he was good. He deserves it. I like that guy a lot.
He's a good guy. He's one of my close friends. And that's why it's like.
Well, tell him from me. Tell him from me. I like you.
I will. Oh, and it'll mean a lot coming from you. So, okay, I want to be mindful of your time because I'm sure you have better things to do during quarantine. We're going to do this segment at the end. We do it at every Drinks First episode. It's called Shots, and I'm going to ask you this or that questions, and just rapid fire, you got to answer.
Yep, I got you.
Okay, early bird or night owl?
Both, but probably more night owl. Night owl. I'll say night owl.
Shoes or jackets?
Jackets.
iPhone or Android?
Oh, mate, come on.
I know.
iPhone.
Good. I mean, some people haven't said that. It's a...
I'm like, yeah, I'm more of a Note 7 kind of guy.
Samsung Galaxy, really? So, okay, yeah. TikTok or Instagram?
TikTok. All day.
Zoom or FaceTime?
They serve such different purposes. So I do like I do all business stuff over Zoom, and I do therapy over Zoom, and I do FaceTime with my friends.
Money or fame?
Money.
Spicy or mild?
But I think that like sorry I'm not making this fast, am I? But okay, so I think that like having money and anonymity is great, but like I think that with fame and no money, you can have a lot of the experiences that wealthy people like might not even be able to have. So both have perks, but also like fame to the level of like a Kardashian, for instance. Like I've been on Houston Street before. You know how Kim and Kanye have like an apartment on the corner of Mercer and Houston?
Yeah.
I've been on Houston like walking past when she's been arriving home. With five bodyguards and like 60 people on the street, like not even paparazzi, just like screaming people, like taking photographs of her. And I don't think anybody wants that fucking life. So like a very small degree of fame, I think, can be helpful and fun, but like a very, very, very small degree of fame. I don't think anybody wants like actual proper fame.
So money.
Yeah, money, sorry.
Spicy or mild?
Spicy.
Socks or house slippers?
Socks.
Well, this one's gonna be obvious. Coffee or drinks?
Coffee.
I'm gonna add two more that I don't have my list. What's your favorite movie?
Closer and Lost in Translation are my two favorite movies.
And if you had a boat, what would you name it?
Your Mate.
All right. So thank you so much for being on. Where can people find you?
Okay, don't even bother with Instagram, but I am at Isaac Likes with an underscore at the end on both TikTok and Instagram, and TikTok is where it's all happening. So ISAACLIKES underscore, and then I also have this little brand called I Like You, and that's on Instagram. I Like You, ILIKEYOU.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And yeah, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me. I like you.
And I liked that episode a lot. So I know this episode was longer than usual and we didn't talk totally all about dating, but Isaac was so fun to talk to that I really thought you guys would enjoy it. And if you liked it, feel free to follow Drinks First on Instagram at drinks.first. On TikTok, we're at Drinks First. Send us an email, drinksfirstpodcast@gmail.com. Follow on whatever you are listening on, Spotify, Apple. If you're on Apple, leave a review and a rating. That really helps me out. And you can find me, your host, Ariana, at ArianaNathani28 on Instagram and at ArianaNathani on TikTok. See you next week.